Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, the Old Testament reading, to Leviticus chapter 5. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1, hear now, the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he hath seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, he shall be guilty in one of these. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass which he hath committed two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off his head from his neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering, according to the manner. And the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin which he hath sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. But if he be not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that sinned shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. Then shall he bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar, according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin that he hath sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him. And the remnant shall be the priest's as a meat offering. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. We'll do a little work first on the 17th century vocabulary here. Wist. He wist it not. That means he didn't know it. You probably could have gotten that from the text because we're talking about things of ignorance here. All right, so the first thing that we want to look at in this chapter as a whole is that we're talking about things that are done ignorantly. It's an interesting thing to think about, especially in the days of our humanity when we have this tendency to excuse ourselves. And so if someone is accused of wrongdoing, one of the first things often out of their mouth is, "Oh, well, I didn't know that." And that is somehow supposed to be exculpatory for them. But it's not. Exculpatory, that's a big word, which means it makes them not guilty. It doesn't. Sins of ignorance are still sins. Do you know why that's true? Because the one that we sin against is God himself, who sees everything. It's not our perspective that matters, it's his. And so sins of ignorance are still sins. In fact, beloved, I would venture to say that many, many of our sins are committed in ignorance. We didn't know that we were doing wrong, but we did anyway. Well, this should humble us, but it should also encourage us because there is an offering for sins of ignorance. Now, you cannot offer for a sin of ignorance if you don't know it's wrong. What the prophet Moses tells us here is you have done something, you didn't know it was wrong when you did it, and then suddenly it becomes made known to you, or it is made known to you, that it was wrong. And so what must you do at that point? Well, there's too much water passed under the bridge, Pastor. I just can't take that. I can't take care of that now. Yes, you can. And you should. And you're required to by God. No matter how long it's been, no matter how much water has passed under the bridge, these sin offerings are to be offered to the Lord. Notice that they are offered to the Lord. They're not offered to the priest. It's not to any particular person, although that there may be a personal offense as part of works meet for repentance that need to be cleared up. Certainly that may be true. But remember that all sin, first and foremost, is against God. David will say in Psalm 51, "Against thee only have I sinned." We're talking about there the sin of Bathsheba. I think Bathsheba might have an objection to that. I think Joab might have an objection to that. And I think certainly Uriah might have an objection to that. But David will say, "Against thee only have I sinned," because the guilt and offense before an infinitely holy God eclipses all other offenses. And so this offering must be offered unto the Lord. So that's the first point. Sins of ignorance are still sins. The second point is that it doesn't matter who you are on the economic scale. And when you begin to speak like this in our age, you begin to say things that are considered by many hate speech. Okay? But we're not really beholden to what the world thinks of us. We're beholden to what God thinks of us. And so we will say on, and that is that notice, it doesn't matter if you're low or high in the society. If the best you can afford is a handful of grain, that's enough for a sin offering. If you can't offer that animal, right, this lamb, this kid of the goats, verse 6, if you can't offer that, if you don't have enough money, if you don't have enough in the storehouse for something like that, well, then you can descend to two pigeons or doves, right? Now, notice that you need two of them, because you're doing two things with them. And one dove is not enough, right? So you must have a sin offering and a burnt offering. And the burnt offering, I think, has a twofold estate here, right? It's to show two things. The first thing is that I deserve to be wholly consumed for my sin against the Lord, even though it was a sin of ignorance. And then also, because I am accepted with the Lord, I will give my whole self to him. And so both of those things, I think, are in view with regard to the burnt offering. But if you can't even bring two turtle doves, then what will you bring? You can bring a handful of grain. And what's interesting about the grain is when it is offered, it's different from all other grain that's been detailed up to this point. No oil and no frankincense on it. In other words, nothing that would make it palatable, nothing that would make it smell good, nothing that would turn it into a cake and it might be considered appetizing, because sin is never to be considered appetizing or beautiful. It's not a sweet savor at all. It never can be. The sweet savor are those things which speak of Christ. Okay? All right, so now we move on from that. These are things about if we hear swearing, if we're a witness to something, and we didn't know it was a sin at the time, right? But then it is. Or if we've made a vow ourselves that we didn't know it was a sinful vow, but then we find out that it is, then we are to make our atonement, right? Okay. But now we move on from that to verse 14. This had to do with personal sins or sins between men or something going forth from our own mouths, a vow or something that we had sinned in making. Now we come to something else. There is a sin against the holy things. If any soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord. Look at this, a ram. Now it doesn't matter how much you can afford. You bring a ram because you've trespassed in the holy things of the Lord. Your offense is more directly against the Lord than against your own soul or against another. And so it's a ram. And a ram was the second most costly animal they had for offerings. Right? Second only to the bullock, which was that great big strong, we would call it today like a cow, something that big. A ram was a very valuable animal. It was a costly sacrifice to trespass in the holy things, and this would have been a deterrent not to trespass into the holy things because of the offering that was required. But notice he didn't bring only a ram. There was also silver, shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering with thy estimation. And what that means is that the priest was given charge over this crime that had been committed. And so the priest would tell the worshiper, okay, you need a ram, but you also need this many shekels because of the degree of your trespass into the holy things of the Lord. And frankly, beloved, while that may sound a little bit harsh or a little bit difficult, let us remember that the Lord even told the high priest coming into the Holy of Holies, you're only going to do that once a year, lest you die. That a trespass in the holy things was often met in Scripture with sudden death. Just ask Uzzah, who reached out and touched the ark when he should not have. So this estimation then of the priest, well, you have committed a grievous sin here. You have come up to the tabernacle and peeked into the first chamber. Okay, so you bring your ram and you bring X amount of shekels of silver also. And this would have been, again, that greater deterrent in the things of God. But the thing that I want you to make note of here, beloved, is that God considers it a greater trespass to assault his holy things than he does anything else. And so violations of the second commandment, false worship, these things are heinous in God's sight, such that they require a greater, in this economy of the Old Testament, a greater offering and a greater penalty to be paid for the violations of it. Okay? So that's pretty clear what's going on there. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereunto, and that even if he didn't know it. Even if he didn't know it. Okay? All right, then finally, if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet he is guilty, shall bear his iniquity. And again, we have the ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him. So this is a large reiteration of what had happened there in verses 15 and 16. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord, and those things are more costly than anything else. All right, with that then, let's stand and continue praying.